From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. In Libya's east, rebels have encountered punishing pro-government attacks as they seek to push east toward the strategic locations of Sirte and Tripoli. As NPR's David Green reports, anti-Gaddafi elements are less cohesive in western Libya, but just as tense.
Libya's western border is closed to journalists, and the military has put up roadblocks around cities where battles are raging, restricting access to everyone but residents and soldiers. Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi's forces are battling for control of Misrata, a coastal city of 300,000 east of Tripoli. A rebel fighter who gave only his first name, Ahmed, said there hasn't been much coordination yet with the larger rebel force in eastern Libya.
It's hard to make very organized in a few days after 42 years of oppression, but the people start like gathering groups. And now we get a leader.
Gaddafi's government had claimed on Sunday to be back in control of Misrata, but rebels disputed that. Internet and phone service, meanwhile, remain cut off in many of the battlegrounds of western Libya. David Green, NPR News, Zarzis, Tunisia.
International talks about imposing a no-fly zone over Libya have picked up steam. NATO today agreed to increase AWACS surveillance flights from 10 to 24 hours a day to give the alliance a better picture of both the humanitarian and military situations on the ground. The statistics are sobering. Nearly 5,500 people killed last year in distracted driving accidents, more than half of those under the age of 30 admitted to using a handheld phone while behind the wheel, and worst of all, 30% admitted to having texted while driving. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood says teens need to know the outcome can be deadly.
They think nothing's going to happen to them. And every teenager in America either owns a cell phone or a texting device, and they think they can use them anytime, any place, anywhere, including when they're behind the wheel.
He announced a partnership aimed at getting young people to, as he put it, hang up and drive. Car crashes are the leading cause of teen deaths. Job creation will continue to improve if the trend at a temp staffing company in the upper Midwest is any indication. From member station WUWM in Milwaukee, Marty Michelson has more.
The temporary staffing company Manpower surveyed more than 18,000 employers across the country. The report shows 16% plan to hire more workers, while 6% plan to reduce staff this spring. Manpower CEO Jeffrey Jarrus says the numbers reflect the same measured hiring pace as the first quarter. Job prospects look best in hospitality, mining, business services, and durable goods manufacturing. For NPR News, I'm Marty Michelson in Milwaukee.
On Wall Street, the Dow closed down 79 points. The Nasdaq lost 39. This is NPR News. President Obama expected to nominate Commerce Secretary Gary Locke, the son of and grandson of Chinese immigrants, to be the next U.S. ambassador to China. A senior administration official says a formal announcement could come as early as Tuesday. A 20-year-old criminology student made international headlines when she became police chief of a violent Mexican border town. But now, as NPR's John Burnett reports, the danger of the job may have been too much for her.
Marisol Valles-Garcia was hailed for her valor when she pinned on the badge as police chief of Prajedis Guerrero last October. Her predecessor had been gunned down. But when she failed to show up for work, reportedly because of death threats, the mayor fired her Monday for abandoning her post. There are unconfirmed reports the young woman has sought asylum in the United States. Prajedis Guerrero is located in the murderous Valley of Juarez, an agricultural region east of the city of Juarez. It's being fought over by two ruthless drug mafias that covet its long border with Texas. The mayor has removed Valles-Garcia from office and will act as police chief until he names her replacement, assuming a replacement can be found. John Burnett, NPR News.
Michigan's Fenville High School is still mourning the sudden death of a star basketball player who collapsed after scoring a winning basket last week. Tonight, memories of 16-year-old Wes Leonard propelled the team to a state tournament game victory, the score 65-54. The game played to a sellout crowd of more than 3,000 spectators. There was a moment of silence for Leonard. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.